Welcome to,
or welcome back to,
Dark Room Reviews. My name is Ginger.
And I'm Matt.
This week's episode, we are back on track with our Conjuring Universe review, and this week's episode is
Annabelle Creation.
Stick around to hear our thoughts on this completely made-up backstory. So let's dive right in. So you may be asking, who are we? Well, we're officially one full year into the pandemic.
Woo! Woo! Lost our jobs for a year. High five.
Yeah. The saddest high five in this room.
You know what that means? We've been doing this podcast for nearly a year now.
Nearly a year. We're coming up on it, and I think it's June.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Normally, in my regular job, I'm an airline pilot. But since we haven't done that for a full year, literally a full year...
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how to fly planes?
I don't know. It's hopefully like a car, my boss isn't listening right now. So I guess really what we are is full-time student and part-time movie reviewers.
Yeah, well, I'm just a part-time school bus driver and part-time movie reviewer and part-time whatever else I do with all of my free time.
Yeah, and you guys have probably been hearing us, you know, an episode every 2 weeks because you're like faithful listeners, right? Yeah, of course. So I'm the person who generally loves a lot of these movies. I'm the big like, rah, 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 must see this movie. Oh, I loved it. Like, here's what I love about it. And Matt is the party pooper.
Although, I will say, the last few episodes have been eking out with me liking them a bit more than you, so I wonder...
I know.
I wonder who's really the party pooper here.
I know. Maybe I'm more of a party pooper.
But for those of you that know, I do have a history? A background.
Yeah.
In film, TV, music, post-production, my jam. And I just see all these things. So unfortunately, I just tend to notice things, and I'm that annoying person in the theater.
Sorry, I have to interrupt because, so we always say this, but usually at some point our cat
George is making an appearance early in this episode.
But in this one, he's making an appearance early. He's already started out with some really odd behavior. He just winked at us like several times.
Was that
only
before or after he meowed at the ghosts? It's very fitting for this podcast.
Yeah. His favorite thing lately is to stare and meow at the ghosts. So, you know.
They're joining us from the Annabelle creation world.
Yeah. No, they're not, because this is a completely made-up movie.
Yeah, it is. But I guess that means the great debate lives on. All right. As you've heard, this is a completely made-up story, but we'll tell you a little bit about who made this story up, really.
Yeah.
So, Annabelle creation. Where are we in the universe? What release date are we? So, this is fourth in release date, but chronologically in terms of the actual timeline of when this movie is supposed to be taking place in real time is just prior to Annabelle, 12 years to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the title, Annabelle
creation. Yes.
Bet you guys couldn't figure that one out.
Yeah, right? It's a prequel, and...
There's some things we like about it.
Yep.
There's some other things we're not big fans of.
Yeah.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
But this movie did get released in 2017, which seems like eons ago now.
Yeah.
It was directed by David F. Sandberg, produced by James Wan, who did the original Conjuring,
yes,
and Peter Safran, but I believe they teamed up together with kind of the more classic Conjuring Universe movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the big ones from now on they worked on.
Yes.
Now we are getting... Oh, yeah, they only have one writer on this movie. Probably a good thing.
Yeah, I think it shows. I think it shows, honestly.
It shows, and I think because they were able to keep the through lines a bit better. We'll get into those when we kind of do our little scene by scene. That was George jumping off the console table. Anyways, this movie stars Stephanie Sigmund, who I don't know who she is, as Sister Charlotte. Talitha Bateman as Janice, kind of one of the main younger orphan daughters.
Orphan girls.
Let me get that right.
Yeah.
Lulu Wilson as Linda, another orphan girl who I thought were sisters.
No,
even
they're not sisters.
They're not.
Yeah, no.
I just didn't pay attention to them.
No, either. And I explained to you, their whole thing is that they want to be sisters. They want to be adopted together just because they're really close friends. Spoiler alert, they are not adopted together. We'll get to that.
Anthony LaPaglia as Samuel Mullins and Miranda Otto as Esther Mullins. They are kind of... There's a bit of a prequel that happens before the actual story.
A pre-prequel. Yeah.
And they will get into their roles, sort of. But they're a couple, essentially, that then house these orphan girls.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other you know, no parent children that are portrayed in this movie, but
yeah,
they don't really have as much significance.
We'll call them bratty orphan number one or bratty orphan number two, basically.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them are just kind of shits for the most part.
Yeah, and they just are kind of there for filler horror scenes, so.
Yeah, so.
We'll get to those. Mm-hmm. Lastly, Joseph Bashira is back as
the Noon,
which is our version of the Nun.
Yeah.
He plays the demon Bathsheba, yeah. Whatever they call it, Valak character, yeah, that many names, but essentially the demon character.
He's always playing a demon character, and he plays it pretty well.
So aside from just movie stuff, I do want to give a little honorable mention here to the composer who did the music.
Yes.
One thing that I loved about this was the score. I felt mm-hmm. that it nailed the score.
Definitely superior score to the other movies. In fact,
even including The Conjuring.
Yep.
I think that this music is better, and even as just like random listening, I'm like, yeah.
It's nice.
It's a nice mix of orchestral. There's some really creepy sound effects, mm-hmm. but it's not too electronic-y. It's kind of my personal style for a horror. It's mm-hmm. that, you know.
It adds to it and doesn't take away and it doesn't distract.
And it's actual perfect music.
Yeah.
Like, it's the nice bit of everything. So the composer's name is Benjamin Wallfisch, and he did, oddly enough, some really other random movies that are not good.
Yeah, he did, but he did some good ones too. So he did The Invisible Man.
Invisible Man, that was a good one.
Yep.
But he also did some other random kind of B-horror movies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you do have to do those before you get into some of the A-level stuff. Mm-hmm. But
oh, and he did It too.
It, yes, that was another good one he did. But, anyways, check him out. If you do end up watching this movie based off of our recommendations and our thoughts, you can definitely listen to it. It definitely suits this movie.
Yes.
So, long story short, this is a prequel. There are orphan children, and the music's good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get right into it, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. So, we already mentioned that there are some, you know, it's a prequel within a prequel. I'm not mad at that. But I think they do a good job of setting the scene. Now, my problem with it, which you'll hear later, is that there's a lot of filler scenes that almost make the movie seem long, even though they didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
So we start off with the two parents, the Mullins.
Yep.
That is Samuel and Miranda Mullin, and they have a daughter, and her name is Annabelle.
Of course.
Shocking.
It's always an Annabelle.
So we kind of get to know them, and the father is a porcelain doll maker. This is around the early 1940s, I believe.
50s.
50s? Mm-hmm. Am I off?
Yeah.
Close. And you can see that he's packaging up basically what is used as Annabelle dolls, the porcelain dolls.
Oh, I guess it would be the mid-40s, because Annabelle
It's 12 years, right? They do 12-year increments?
No, she's not 12 when she
dies.
No, but
in the movie.
No, I know, but is it really 12 years? Oh, yeah, no, I guess it
is 12.
So
she dies, and then it's 12 years later that they have the orphans.
Then it would have to be sometime in the 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew my math wasn't that off.
All right, okay.
But essentially, we're kind of getting the intro to this family. It is Miranda and Samuel and Annabelle.
Yep. He's a doll maker. They have this cute, old, big home on sprawling land in a rural setting.
Yeah, it looks very southwestern United States.
Yes.
And based off of the location of Annabelle, I'm guessing it's somewhere in rural Southern California, mm-hmm. potentially even as far as Nevada or even Utah.
Yeah, totally.
That's kind of my guess. But you're in that kind of desert-ish warm climate.
Right. So then, okay, it clicks right along to, it shows that they have this like cutesy little family life, and they show this like nice little church scene, and literally right after the church scene, this family,
their car breaks down,
typical flat tire or something. The dad's trying to change it on the side of the rural dirt road, and mom and daughter, like little girl Annabelle, are outside. They're just chit-chatting and stuff, And, okay, I feel like you can see this scene coming from 1,000 miles away.
If you have seen or read Pet Sematary.
It's Pet Sematary. The way that this child gets smashed by a car, you're just like...
Yeah, someone drops something and she's like, I'll get it. And runs out on the road and boom.
And quite frankly, she's a little too old to be darting out in the street. Like, I think she's like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just something odd about it. And I find it... very silly. I don't like silly this as well. Scene.
I just find they could have had so many more clever ways that the kid could have died.
Yeah, I mean,
especially with it being all made up. I mean, like, you, world's your oyster here.
Yeah, you don't have to stick to anything.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Just, you know, car on the side of the road, it would have been better if it was, like, even just as simple as a car accident. That would have been way better.
Yeah, but instead, like, the way that she gets, like, it's almost like, okay, I feel like when she gets hit by this truck, I feel like it needs a silly, fake sound effect, like a...
boing.
Boing. Like, it's so ridiculous. I just find it silly.
And I find it predictable.
It's very predictable. They're
trying to make it seem very sudden and, like, oh, she's dead, but it's...
But others do the whole sudden thing
way
much
better.
Yep. Yeah, there have been... several movies, I'm not even going to name, but there are several movies where people get killed in a very sudden way, and you're like, whoa, didn't see that coming, that was fantastic. I mean, I know we talk about this all the time, and even if you're not a fan of the movie, but Hereditary, the way that girl dies, you don't know it's coming until maybe a 30 seconds prior to it actually happening.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you kind of have a little inkling when they're in the car and he's driving really fast and stuff. You mm-hmm. think, oh, something's going to happen. But, like, other than that, this was, like, the whole... literally, the start of the scene happens, and you're like, that girl's gonna die.
She's gonna die in a car accident.
Yeah.
Or somehow related to her being on the side
yes.
of the road.
Like, you know, just the way that they're setting up the shot, you're like, okay, that's not very good. Anyway,
so
moving
now,
on from that.
Now we're launching into the actual prequel, not the pre-prequel.
Which is... so then they flash forward a little bit. It's 12 years later now.
And now we are introduced to...
our main characters.
Linda mm-hmm. and Janice. So, Janice is the older one. She's got dirt polio leg or something.
She's got polio leg.
Linda is the other one. And mm-hmm. she's just kind of a cute kid, but one on the younger side of the orphanage. And there's about, I don't know, how many are there? Like five or six girls
or something.
And sister Charlotte is leading this group.
And essentially the whole premise of this is that they roll up in this, like, old bus. It's 1955. And these are all girls who belong to an orphanage that is normally, they're normally being looked after by sister Charlotte. And the whole reason that they're at the Mullins' house is because they ran out of room at their orphanage and they just need just a physical space. That's it.
Yeah, essentially all the Mullins are exactly. providing them is their house. They're yeah. not actually taking care
they're
of the
not,
kids.
They're not like adopting them or taking care of these kids or even fostering. That is still up to Sister Charlotte to do yep. the caring.
But it's just for them offering yeah. their massive farm home.
And it makes sense because they've got this great big home with, like, you know, tons of bedrooms and stuff. So that's kind of the premise of why these girls are even at the Mullins' house. I think it's necessary to say because they don't actually do a fantastic job of, like, laying that out. You sort of find
them... No, you kind of figure that out through dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Which is good because it's not exposition-y.
It's not exposition-y, and it kind of is like, oh, that's why they're there. Okay, now I get it.
Right.
They show up, and I believe Sister Charlotte mentions, I'm like, oh, this will be great space for all of us to stay here.
Yeah, so we can
Things
all
like
stay
that.
Together and that kind of thing. It's
And then I think in the kitchen, it's like, oh, this will be great, and you don't need to be worrying about us. We can take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Things like that. Which is good. Now, the one weird thing here is that, like, the father just happened to have a stair climber.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense for the movie, but I'm also, like...
it's awfully coincidental.
Oddly coincidental and specific.
Yeah.
So, because Janice, one of the main characters, mm-hmm. has polio derp leg, I'm just going to keep referring it to that.
Yeah.
No offense to anyone has polio. It's a very serious disease. We fix it with vaccines. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And... but because she does have, like, her leg in a brace,
yeah.
she was not... all the bedrooms were upstairs, and she was concerned she wouldn't be able to get up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel Mullen just so happily had installed not even just a straight up and down chairlift, but a slightly curved landing
yeah.
stair lift.
Pretty anyway, fantastic
pretty...
technology for 1955.
And he claims, like, oh, I built it because my wife was having a hard time getting up and down the stairs. So.
Yeah, like, his wife couldn't walk, and for a period of time, she was in one of the upstairs bedrooms, but then she became so sick that she's in the downstairs bedroom.
Yeah, she became so sick. And yeah. Also, you get glimpses of her a little bit later on, just after this, after the first dinner.
We'll talk about the glimpses. We'll get to that.
But
yeah.
Also, you know that something's off mm-hmm. with the mother. Something is not right. Either she's ill, she's distressed, but
yeah.
You kind of get that vibe from the beginning, basically, like...
Yeah.
We stay down here, we don't go upstairs, and
that's it.
She's in the room pretty much 99% of the time.
Yeah.
So you kind of already know the situation's a little odd. So there's, of course, what horror movie would not be complete without a suspicious locked bedroom upstairs?
Every horror movie has a suspicious locked bedroom of a dead girl.
Obviously. Doesn't that happen every time you moved in?
Don't as an you orphan have child? One of those rooms?
And it's sealed with glued pictures from the pictures, glued pages of the Bible?
Well, no, that's the cabinet inside.
No, I know, but I mean.
Yeah.
Isn't your closet like that?
Well, of course.
Yeah. It's, everyone's.
Everyone has a closet like that, right? That they keep the evil locked away in, apparently.
Clearly. So we know that someone's trying to get up in, I think Janice tried to open it because she saw stuff like, you know, the kid growing taller, markings on the wall, mm-hmm. like on the frame. And she tries to get in and, you know, classic horror movie, the jump scare of, we don't go into that room.
Yeah.
It stays locked, something yeah. like that.
It's a little cheap.
It's a little cheap. There's a few cheap things in here, some things I like.
Yep.
But overall, fine. I'm not mad at the pacing. So essentially everyone, we're in exposition mode right now.
Yes.
Everyone's getting rooms. You can kind of see the dynamic of the kids. Like there's some older, bitchier kids who think that the younger kids are just such wimps and, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of treat them badly. They bully them a little bit.
Yeah.
And especially Janice because, you know, she's got dirt polio leg mm-hmm. and she's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the two, Janice and Linda, are both...
Good friends.
Good friends. Yep. And they're trying to like stay together and be mm-hmm. positive.
Yep.
But... You know, there's some struggles along the way. I don't mind that kind of aside from it, but...
I think the two little girls have, like, pretty good acting for the most part. I'm not thrown by their acting style.
No, and I think it's, you know, it's cheesy enough as kids. Like, that's kind of, like, I'm buying that that's what kids would do. It's not over the top. It's... I don't mind it.
Yeah. I don't care for one of the opening scenes with Sister Charlotte and the dumbwaiter thing.
Oh, you don't like how it just, like, randomly flies open?
Well, I just feel like it's so early in the movie. I just feel like you're hit with ghosts, like, or whatever, spirits or what have you, like, so fast.
Well, but I think
I'm not a fan of that.
Well, but I think they're trying to do the thing of, like, oh, this was a fake-out because it was just yeah. a loose screw. But the thing is, like, he doesn't fix it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So in the movie, like, the dumbwaiter in Sister Charlotte's room just flies open.
Yeah.
But you don't find out until after dinner or just before dinner later, like a solid 5-10 minutes, like a few scenes after that, he's like, oh, it's just the counterweight blew this open. And you're like, oh, no. I almost forgot that happened because
right.
I don't necessarily care that that happened that early. Mm-hmm. I just wish they had a more rational explanation for it then.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of been my whole thing, is I don't mind you getting hit with stuff early, but I want it to be more subtle.
Yeah,
it's a little too like hammer on the nail.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, also, I enjoy how the kids happen to also get the crazy, creepy doll room.
Yes, of course.
Of course they did.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie.
Shout out to creepy doll lovers.
Right? If you love porcelain dolls, hi, Lee.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Also, update. My mom bought, like, 2 more porcelain dolls.
When?
Like, last week.
Oh, okay.
She bought them on eBay because they were 2 for, like, $15.
That's a good price, I guess.
My mom used to spend, like, $200 on one doll. In, like, the 70s, 80s.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She used to apparently save up, like, her year's worth of babysitting money to buy a porcelain doll.
That's love right there. That's dedication to porcelain dolls.
Yeah. So when she saw them on eBay, she was like, oh.
I'm getting them.
The bid for $35 didn't get it. Like, no one bid on it when it was $35, and now they brought it down to $15 for 2.
Done.
Yeah. She got them.
Wow.
Yep, she had to pick them up in Coburg.
Oh, good for her.
Yep. Good job, Lee. Hope you're listening. Anyways, for those of you not into porcelain dolls, we got a movie for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, as we mentioned, this does kind of hit right on the head with everything.
Yeah.
Like, night one.
Night one. We've got ghost time. Yep.
Even on the first dinner, we get our first glimpse of the mother, which... Yep. I can't remember if you see it exactly head on, but essentially
it's a little glimpse.
Little glimpse of what appears to be something covering her face.
Yeah.
We'll hold that off for a little later. Yeah. For those of you that seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But even right after that, basically, as soon as Samuel goes to tend to the mother, the lights in the dining room start flickering.
Of course.
And, like, full out, they come back on. And that's kind of what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, guess we're going to start this tonight. Did you want a haunting on night one?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
That's the only thing I don't love about this movie, because the whole premise of most of the Conjuring universe was to accurately and somewhat fictitiously tell the story of some, air quote, real horrors situations, haunting situations that did occur, particularly around the Warrens or more famous notable events.
Right.
And what I find interesting are when those through lines actually happened.
Yes.
Like, and we'll get to those movies. Like, The Nun in particular is an interesting through line, which I'm glad they included in this movie.
Yeah. I like that tie-in.
So actually, just after this dinner scene, before all the haunting shit, we first get a picture of Sister Charlotte, and she's like, oh, these are some of my colleagues that I worked with when I was in Romania.
Yep.
And you see that there's, like, three other nuns. This is Sister so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. They're all people of the convent in Romania.
The only thing I don't like about that scene, okay, the only thing I don't love about it is that Samuel Mullins is looking at this picture, and there's four perfectly looking, normal-looking nuns.
Yep. Just
young nuns, right? Looking like nuns.
Yeah.
And he goes, who's that? And I'm like, yeah, of course who's that? There's a fifth person in the person, quote unquote, in the photo, and it's pure nightmare fuel. Like, and she's like, oh, I don't know who that is. Let's say I don't recognize that person. And I'm like, that's not the appropriate reaction to seeing that in that picture.
And that's the thing, is like, when you were in a picture, like if you were in a picture, oh, I can't remember if she was in it.
She was in it.
She was in it?
She goes, that's me. And then she goes, that's Sister So-and-so, Sister So-and-so, and Sister So-and-so. That's why she only names three of them.
Yeah, but I'm also like, if you knew you took a picture with only three other people, wouldn't you be like, oh, who the fuck's in that picture?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I don't look at photos, and I was like, oh, I was with this person. Like, all these people make sense to me, especially in small photos where it's like, oh, yeah, I was with
four people.
Was this event. It was all three of us.
I would have liked it better if it was a group of all of the nuns out in front of the church.
Yes.
And then he points out the one nun being like, oh, who's that person? Like, if somebody had been slightly out of frame or not quite with the group or something, I'd be like, okay, that's
but the fact that you're with a small group and it's like this very faded person.
And then there's just in the shadows and the darkness, there's this literal nightmare fuelish person
in the picture.
Image of a person. It's the demon nun standing right beside her. And you're like, you didn't notice that person? How could you have not noticed that person?
Oh, something we didn't mention from earlier. The family at the very beginning, it starts off with the daughter playing hide and seek.
Yes.
And they leave notes around the house.
Yes.
That was kind of her way in this movie of playing hide and seek. She would leave notes very similar to the Annabelle hauntings, where she would say, like, find me, and leave it folded up under a door.
Yeah.
So that's very important, because this is kind of what they're alluding to at this point.
Yeah.
This is where we start getting those notes. Yeah. So on the first night, after dinner, to get the Annabelle notes, and it comes from the locked room. Janice she wakes up in the middle of the night and gets the note.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can't remember if it says, like, come play with me or find me.
I think
or
it says find me.
And she's like, oh, the suspicious door that was locked.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the night and it's creepy. I'm going to wander right in.
Mm-hmm.
Said no child ever.
Yeah, said no child ever. I don't know who these fucking superhero children are.
I don't know. These just like superpowered children in like the 50s.
They're just 40s. Like, yeah, 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on. Because I gotta tell you, I don't know many children, your average child, who would just be like, yeah, I'm in a house that I don't really know. I kind of feel uneasy. Somebody just slipped me a note. I see that the note came from a locked door that I know
and now
nobody
that room's
is
open.
In. Yeah. And now that room is open, yep, I'm definitely just going to walk right in. And not only that, but I'm going to stay in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn on a light. I'm just like, no child. Hardly any adult would do that.
I barely would want to get up in the middle of the night to get, like, water when I needed it.
Yes, as a child.
Just because I was like, oh, it's dark and I don't want to, like,
yeah,
go out there.
I think being afraid of the dark is probably one of the most common,
fears
for a child, right? And it's like, all these brave children just walking around.
Especially on night one.
In a new
brand
home.
Brand new home. Of a, even in like, because the owner, not the owner, the parents, the Samuel and
Esther.
Esther, that's her name.
Yeah.
I was calling her like Miranda.
That's her real name.
That's her real name. They are, you know, they're kind of seen as like kooky, odd, something's
maybe
off
even a
about
little bit
them.
Scary.
Even a little bit intimidating and scary.
Yeah, like I you get the vibe from the girls, the children, that they're a little timid around the guy.
Especially the father.
Yeah, and they haven't even seen Esther because she is disabled and in a room somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
So
it's weird. Odd.
And especially where the guy is very forceful.
Yeah.
In the instance with Janice being like, this room stays locked.
Anyway, yeah, I'm not a fan of these superhero children. So shout out to a movie that does not have a superhero child, and it is The Sixth Sense. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, famously starring Haley Joel Osment, and he does a fantastic job as, you know, a little kid, and Cole, I think is the name, and he's a little, like, I see dead people kid, right? Yeah. I'm not ruining anything for anybody. And I find his acting is so phenomenal because he acts like a real child.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of has some pissy moments, right? He has some little shitty child moments.
Yeah.
He has moments where he's brave, and he has moments where you can tell that he's freaking terrified.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, because that's a normal human reaction. There's even a scene where he has to, like, get up and pee in the middle of the night, and he's, like, scared, so he, like, runs from his room to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you remember that in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, that's what children are like, especially if they're being, like, tormented by ghosts or demons or something.
You know, as kids are.
apparently as kids are, right?
But yeah, I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I'm not into these, like, superhero children. It's weird.
Yeah, and then on top of that, she stays in the room, she dinks around, finds this big, the big dollhouse.
Dollhouse, yeah.
And the dollhouse, I do like the use of the dollhouse. It's kind of mirroring.
I like it.
The problem that I, overall, in general, with this movie, is it kind of plays to all the horror cliches.
There's a lot of horror
tropes.
There's
a lot of horror cliches in this, where it's like, it's the dollhouse, it's the scene within a scene, it's the prequel, it's this, and there's so many things.
Well, and of course, the room that those two girls had to draw was the room with all the creepy dolls in
it.
And you're like,
it's kind of all lining up, like, very rapid fire.
Yeah.
So, now she sees the dollhouse, and there's an Annabelle figure, like the daughter, not the doll.
Mm-hmm.
And she is pointing, or is like next to an open door.
Yeah.
And then that closet door is open, and
in
you see
room.
In the room, like it is in the dollhouse when it wasn't earlier.
Yep, it's mirroring what's happening, and it's a neat use, but I just wish that it's like, if they had just, you know, less is more. If they had just taken away a few of those things and only kept a couple of key things.
Again, it's too hammer on the head.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the door opens, the key falls out, and that happens to be the key that opens the door. It's like, oh, God, of course it is, because you made it that way.
Now, one thing that we wanted to mention was that they have this very scene that we're talking about. Janice kind of goes over to that closet door, and it's a locked closet door.
It's like a locked closet door, but I don't know. This is a kind of a fun fact if anyone's caught this.
This is like a real folklore fact.
Real folklore fact. This is the only thing I do like about this movie is the introduction of kind of real folklore or real, you know, facts about things.
Yeah, I don't want to call them facts. They're folklore. It's
well,
like superstitions
folklore,
and folklore.
But I mean, there's a couple things later in the movie that are kind of facts.
Absolutely.
Anyways. But in this case, if anyone picked up on it, Janice actually had to swing open a lock cover that was really popular around this time.
Yeah. Well, and earlier.
Well, and earlier in particular, but especially in, you know, homes of that early 1900s time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually from original kind of witchcraft folklore.
Yeah.
Particularly around, like, that's common in New Orleans, too.
Yeah, and so basically what that is, there was a common belief at a certain point that unsettled spirits or spirits that wish to do you harm could come into your house through any holes, whether that's keyholes or holes in the doors, holes in the foundation, things like that. Almost like they physically had to, almost like they couldn't physically pass through solid space, which is an interesting concept. So the way that they combated this in a lot of these you know,
there were a few methods.
1800s homes, were one of the methods was putting covers
on the actual keyholes. So that way they couldn't come in.
A lot of it was turning the keyholes upside down because that was said to confuse them. They're expecting the, you know, the circle part at the top and the skinny part at the bottom. So, you know, if you flip it upside down, it confuses them enough that they just leave you be. So it's interesting. And we've actually, a number of the, like plantation homes that we visited
are built like that. A lot of doors are not the same. One door will be upside down. The next one has a cover.
Yeah.
And they
all have a different thing. I think there was even something to do with the whole, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was also something to do with stained glass and colored glass too. Had something to do with, like, again, confusion for spirits. Like,
wasn't it supposed to be put in different places?
Yeah, different places, and it's not the same pattern, and
something
it's
supposed like to
be
that.
Disorienting, right? Mm-hmm. So,
but essentially, it's kind of weird because they kind of had these ideas that ghosts would be confused by these things.
Yeah.
But this is like a little tidbit of that because she actually has to lift the lock cover to get into, and if you notice, it's the only lock cover
in the whole house.
Yeah,
I
do think that is a bit of a tip, like a nod to that folklore.
That kind of old world. I think that is really clever. But see, that's what I wish. I wish this movie had more
clever hidden not never.
Things, not like...
See what I did there?
Yeah, clever, not never. Hi,
Andrew. Please listen to our podcast. We'll send it to her. We'll DM her.
Yeah. She's the only reason I would go to Australia. Just know that.
Yeah. So, a little fun fact there. And now we actually get, you know, full side view of Annabelle. And these are shots that I do like. Yes, the doll.
Yeah.
I do like, you know, the focus on Janice and the animal dolls in the back. And it's kind of the creepy thing. It is what we're looking for in the movie.
Yeah.
So...
We kind of missed the point, though. So when Janice opens up the that wardrobe, the locked wardrobe, she opens it up to find the Annabelle doll, the pristine doll, sitting on a chair in the wardrobe, and taped or glued to the back of the wardrobe doors are a shit ton of Bible pages, like literally pages taken out of the Bible.
Yes, like, they're like glue-sticked.
Yeah.
Glue-stuck. Yeah. They are stuck glued. By glue.
They're just glued. I think glued is the.
But it's not with a physical glue stick. Anyways. I'm a weirdo. And this is actually a good scare, I think. Good scare scene.
Yeah.
After this, they move, and you can see that the doors are opening, closing. I believe Janice gets locked in there briefly, and you can see that there's like a. She puts the cover back on the Annabelle doll because she's creeped out, obviously.
Yep.
And sure enough, the Annabelle doll is now, like, standing up and, like, walking towards her
with the sheet over top of it.
And I think they do a good job here because then the sheet falls down and there's nothing there.
I like that scene.
That's a good scene. There are other scenes I don't like because they just give you full frontal demon and you're like, why'd you do that?
When you show me the demon's face head on, I'm done, you know?
Yeah, it's too silly at that point.
Yeah.
So, I do like this level of horror this early.
Yeah.
However, I wish they save all their tie-ins at the end.
Yeah,
and I wish they had more tidbits leading up to there.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about the tie-ins when they kind of happen at the end, but there are some ties to other movies, other things that happen, but we will get there, I promise. But I wish they kind of laid a little bit more breadcrumbs for us
early on. Yeah, spacing out a little bit.
Because right now, it's kind of like, you know, it's Annabelle creation, and just shit's kind of happening, and you're like... Okay, yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
But what's the link? Yeah. Where are we?
And
the nun's kind of like that, too.
And the nun's like that, too. Nun's like that, too, but I find the reveal is better, personally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you can almost argue at that point that the nun was like a whole separate thing that just had that one tie-in.
Yeah.
Where this was a whole movie dedicated to Annabelle creation.
Yeah.
You would think that it would have more tie-ins.
It's supposed to be Annabelle's backstory. And I just feel, I don't know. I just feel like it's very disjointed, this story.
Yeah, so now we're into the next day, and the bitchy girls are outside having fun, and...
Just being general jerks to the little kids. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're gonna go outside and play, and Janice is like, all right, I can't run, because, you know, giant metal cast
And they're like, sucks to be you, I guess.
Yep.
Like, that's kind of it.
So, now... She stays in, and she lets her friend Linda go, because, you know, she's trying to be the good friend of, like, oh, I'm going to stay here. And she's like, no, just fucking go play. And I can see right through that. Mm-hmm. And now we can really have, like, a bit of a one-on-one. Now, this is the one part I do like, where she actually confronts the sister about what has happened. Mm-hmm. I like that she confronts her, but I'm also like, why is the sister not even asking her that many more questions about it? I mean, I guess, yeah, this is kind of typical of that time of, like, oh, you know, she's, quote, sinned, and she needs to confess her sins by breaking into that room. But I feel like there should have been more investigation as to what had happened, considering that it was, like, she started the whole thing off being like, the door was open to the locked room. Mm-hmm. And something led me there, and there was someone in the house. Wouldn't that raise more questions than, you're a terrible kid for going into a locked room?
So, yes and no. I kind of see where you're going with this, but I also somewhat disagree. The reason that I think that is because they're trying to make you remember that Sister Charlotte is first a nun, right? Yeah. She's a nun. And I think Sister Charlotte, her character probably simply would not believe in such a thing. You know what I mean? Because really, they don't believe that. Actually, it's funny because, like, these movies do inter... They have all this, like, demon and spirit stuff interwoven. Yeah. But that's not really what... I don't think you would find a lot of, like, nuns and clergy
who would think the paranormal is real.
Yeah, like, I don't think that they would think the paranormal is real at all. I don't think that they would think that. They probably think that your soul moves on, right? Because that's what the Bible tells them.
Yeah.
So, like, I think why Sister Charlotte's character reacts like that is because they're probably trying to make her seem like a good nun. Like, she would gloss over those types of things, being like, no. Or she's more logical and thinking that, like, kids' imaginations are just what they are.
I guess they're active.
They're overactive, in fact.
Yeah, but I guess, like, there is some genuine fear there.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
But there can be genuine fear with nothing
really I'm not saying happening. Nothing, but I mean, like, not even hearing the concerns. I don't know. I just feel like that it was a immediate, shoot down of her fears. Even though I will argue that, like, yes.
Yeah.
It is kind of more childish, but, I mean... It's not like she's like, oh, I dinked around in the room and I got scared. It was like...
Well, no, I still disagree because the way that the girl sets it up, the way that Janice sets it up is more like, yes, she's afraid, but she more feels bad that she went against...
Yeah, against the rules.
What the Mullins guy, Samuel Mullins, had told her not to go into that room. And it's the first thing she did was go into that room. I think she's just feeling guilty, and I think she wants to confess about it. So that's why I think Sister Charlotte
doesn't
really press it a whole lot, because she's like, no, you just shouldn't have gone into that room. And probably Sister Charlotte could also be thinking, yeah, just because Janice said it was supposed to be locked, what would you think if somebody told you that? I would think... something more logical. Not like, oh, a ghost unlocked it. I would just think that the person was mistaken. It probably wasn't locked to begin with.
Yeah,
right? If
maybe.
A kid told me, if a kid, think about it, a child relays to me, oh, this room was supposed to be locked, and I went in and it wasn't locked, I'd be like, in my head, I'd be thinking, yeah, somebody probably just didn't lock it, kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be thinking anything that suspicious.
That's true.
I really wouldn't, especially in someone's house. I'd be like, yeah, it's probably just an oversight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I actually don't mind her reaction. I think it's very nun-like. I will say that.
It's very nun-like. Very stern, I agree.
Because
with
she
that.
Hands out, like, you know, a Hail Mary and to do some chores for repentance, you know, for going into this locked room when she wasn't supposed to. And she does lay some pretty good guilt on.
Yeah, you
because
know.
Because she's like, oh, think about your fellow orphan sisters, basically being like, you know,
if we get kicked out, we have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
I get that.
She lays on some guilt pretty good, but no, I actually think it's an okay.
Yeah, I guess I just figure, like, there is still some fear related to there. I feel
I
like it should have been investigated a little more.
Yeah.
I agree.
I just think that for the time, she just wasn't going to.
I guess.
Yeah.
So now the bitch girls are really mean, and they play, quote, hide and seek with mm-hmm. Linda, even though they have no intention of actually playing hide and seek. They're just going to let her dink around the property.
Yeah, of course.
And they make fun of a scarecrow. And this is the thing also I don't like.
I hate the scarecrow.
I hate the scarecrow tie-in.
Yeah,
so
it annoys me.
So they make fun of the scarecrow, and then it makes a reappearance at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
After you spent the entire chunk, like, middle section of the movie, nothing's happened with it.
Right.
And you're like, why are they bringing this back?
Yeah.
It's such an odd scene at the end, but...
Yep.
Anyways, But now it's their turn to get haunted this night. This is kind of like the only thing I don't love about it is it kind of does the predictable, like, this person gets haunted. These people get haunted. These people get haunted. And then suddenly the whole cast is haunted, and then it gets ramped up.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of works through the cast.
Yeah.
So, not my favorite thing, but it's a style.
Yeah, it's a choice.
So, now we're getting into the second night there, and this is actually where we have the noon picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we now have everyone's going to bed, and the older daughters are, you know, being older kids.
Girls, being older girls.
And making up shit about the mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's fine, and they're kind of being little shits, and they're hiding under the sheet, you know, classic 1950, I'm reading my comic book under the blankets type of thing.
Yep.
That's why she's in bed all day, but at night, she can go wherever she wants. She needs to, so she can feed. And if you look directly at her, you'll die. And to get you to look, she'll keep saying your name over and over till you can't stand it. Nancy.
No,
Nancy.
No. Nancy. No.
All they know is that she's sick and that she stays in the room downstairs and that's it. So, of course, just being shitty kind of girls, they are going to make up, like, silly, scary stories about her.
Yeah.
To, like, rile each other up.
So, of course, the Annabelle demon plays on this and...
Yep.
There's, like, a bell that the mother that...
rings.
Yeah, she rings to kind of get service.
Yes.
And that's kind of getting closer and closer. There's footsteps. They can see a shadow. Mm-hmm. I like this scene in terms of the horror factor. And, yeah. You know, it's kind of a nice little payback scene for the bitch girls.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so quick. Like, it's very hard, fast, like, horror.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it at this point.
Nope.
It's still really good. But you're kind of like, oh, yeah. Got them. Got them good.
I know.
Good job. That's like the one where I'm like, you deserve to be fucking haunted at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They're little shits. So now the next day, this is the only thing I don't get either, is that then the guy just leaves for no reason. Maybe it is a reason. I just wasn't paying attention that much to it. So now the main Samuel Mullins leaves, and we finally see the mother.
Yes, Esther.
Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And she has got, I kid you not, full Phantom of the Opera mask.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, hiding the gross half of her face. It just reminds me of the Family Guy episode.
Let's see the gross half of your face.
We'll play Come it here on. For you guys.
Let's see the gross half of your face. Come on. Let's see the gross half of your face so I can get out of here. That nose better be piggy.
Shut up.
You shut up.
It literally, it's kooky. Like,
it's
I don't... kooky.
And it's, of course... made from, like, a cut portion of a porcelain doll.
Oh, of course.
Because that's what Samuel used to do, is make dolls.
Yep.
So you know that's got a story to it, too. So now we got a backstory within the backstory within the backstory of the prequel.
There's so much. There's so much going on here.
Not mad at it so far, but I'm like, okay, there's another layer we got to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that. So also score in this area. Really like it.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's really nice. They sent us a nice little,
the score is fantastic.
It is really good.
Yeah.
So now what's kind of happening is the mother, because the father's left, has asked Sister Charlotte to get her some water.
Mm-hmm.
And we can really see that she's got some disfigurement, hence the Phantom of the Opera mask.
Yep.
And we get to hear a little bit more about the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So the backstory on this backstory is...
how she ended up like this.
Yeah, how she ended up like this. Not necessarily, no, not like that, but what happened to the daughter.
Ah, yes.
Because she doesn't really go into the full backstory at the very end.
Yeah, until a little later, that's right.
So, at this point, all we know is that she mentioned that she had a daughter, she was killed suddenly, and it's been really hard for them, and it's nice to have the girls back in the house.
Right, right.
But now, Janice has overheard this, and she's like, oh, she had a daughter named Annabelle that lived upstairs. She's kind of already piecing
it all
together.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, that's probably what's going on with the room. Maybe that's what I saw. Like, maybe not jumping directly to haunting conclusions, but she's kind of making connections of, like, it's not just a empty room. So, you know, this I don't mind, but I also feel like they're telling you information you already know. It's just being related to other characters. So I'm like, how much are you really adding right now?
Right.
It's fine, though. So now we also... And this is another thing I don't care for. The creepy eyes.
Oh, in the photo.
Well, and in the photo and in random scenes, like, they try to do different things, but there's no consistent through line of what is
the ghost or what is the demon.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't care for that. It's I guess it keeps you a little on edge because it could be in any direction, but I find it's just...
I don't like it personally. It's too much.
It's too much. It's trying to do too many things.
It's like, at some points, it's a full manifestation of the actual daughter, Annabelle. At some points, it's just the appearance of the Annabelle doll. At some points, it's the full appearance of
the whole demon.
The whole demon, the black, like, I mean, I literally mean like pitch black.
Yeah.
Valak, Bathsheba, whatever character, whatever, insert your demon name here. And in fact, one of the silliest scenes is that outdoor barn scene where the demon character is literally upside down Spider-Man style, hanging.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate that scene. And then sometimes it's just eyes, right? Yeah. Sometimes it's just creepy eyes.
And then sometimes it's just black fog.
Yeah. I actually don't mind the black fog. I wish that they had just stuck with the black shadow
and like
and
figures.
Just the Annabelle doll.
Yep.
That's kind of what I wish they had stuck with.
I'm even okay with like even like fogged hands.
Or the subtle glimpse of the girl, the actual Annabelle girl.
Yep.
Because there's that one scene where she does appear behind the door for the first time.
Yes.
But she's all blurred out. I don't mind that because you can't really see her full on.
Or even when she's looking out the window and you don't really, you just kind of see her there.
But it's those full on shots where, again, if I had the mind to pause the screen, I could literally sit there and stare at this thing.
Yep.
I don't want that. Mm-hmm.
And you can pull it apart. You can be like, oh, that's a mask. This is makeup.
Like,
this is
don't want the option to be like, well, that's a person in a really silly outfit. You know, I don't want that.
So now we're getting into the... Oh, yeah, the record player goes on with that room.
Yes, the record player.
Yeah. So now what's happened is we're getting into nighttime again, and the door is open, and Janice is awakened by the record playing in the room. So now she manages to get in and Linda comes in after her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, this is so-and-so's room. And now, you know, it's more exposition. She's telling Linda now what she thinks. This was Annabelle's room. She was the daughter, blah, 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 blah. I need to tell you everything because I just need to make sure my audience knows what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how this scene feels to me.
Yes.
It feels very much like I am telling this other character what's going on because
just to make sure that
the audience knows what's going on.
Yeah,
very much has it feel. Not a fan of that. No. I mean, we've already gathered that. Are there really that dumb viewers out there? Maybe.
But I mean, even still, it doesn't matter. Like, let it go. You know? You don't need to like hammer it home. It's silly.
Mm-hmm. This is the demon girl I don't care for.
Yes. Because
if I remember correctly, she's in the window. And it's like, what do you want?
Your soul!
And it's like the demon face. Like, oh, here we go.
Well, it's like normal girl back of the body. Like, normal back of the head, back, legs, the whole thing. And then she turns around and it's like, your soul! And her face is all fucked up. It's all demonized. And I'm like, oh, no. You made it silly
You
now.
Made it silly. You made it silly. You showed us the creepy thing, and now we know what it is.
If you had just stuck with the back of her head, and even if she had never turned around, that's almost creepier. Like, the leaving you in suspense. Like, what does a girl look like? You know? Or if she just refused to turn around, and then 1 minute she disappears, that's creepier.
Yeah.
Getting a little glimpse of the little girl is way better than her turning around and morphing into a makeup demon.
Yeah, or
you know, because it is. You can see the fucking makeup on her. It's like, well, you know.
Or the CGI edits that were terrible, but.
Yeah, and some of the CGI edits I didn't love in this movie, but anyway.
But this was kind of popular. This was like, you know, also Insidious 2 levels where like they wanted to show you everything because they could.
It's unfortunate because I actually like the Insidious. Like, I don't mind Insidious 1.
Yeah,
like,
some of the Insidious,
one,
like, yeah.
And I don't mind the story in Insidious. I think it's kind of unique. But I really don't care for Insidious 2.
Yeah.
It's bad. And
they show you way too much. And it gets too silly.
Yeah.
And now, the scene right after it, though, I actually do like.
Yeah.
Because she runs out of the room and she tries to run down the
chair.
And then
it's the fog thing.
And that's the fog
thing.
Love
that scene.
Love that scene. And
love
it's creepy.
Scene. We have this weird yo-yo effect of scenes where I'm like, oh, now I really like this. So essentially what happens is Janice is freaked out, of course, tries to run away, but I mean, you know, she's got that bad bum leg, so she sits in the chair in the
And the electric chairlift.
And the electric chairlift that, you know, and she does the, she has the classic thing of like, when they first introduced the chairlift, you know that this is going to be an issue later on because the guy is like,
they make a point being like, make sure you put your seatbelt on. It won't go without it on.
The seatbelt, and you're like, and instantly in your head, you're like, well, that's going to be a fucking issue later.
She's going to bolt out of something and she's going to not put the seatbelt on.
Of course. And what does she do? She bolts out of the room, forgets to put the seatbelt on. She's freaking out, panicking, click, 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 click. She's trying to get the switch to go. It's not going. And you're like, put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on. Oh my God, why aren't you putting your seatbelt on? She finally does.
Yep.
She puts her damn seatbelt on and she gets the chair to start moving down the stairs. And it's the good scare because that black fog, shadow, whatever you want to call it,
is like is enveloping the entire top landing
going all the way down the staircase. I love that.
Yeah, and especially when it stops.
And then it's really freaky because it stops halfway.
And then it reverses
back up. And it reverses and it brings her back into it.
And you just see the shadow of the Annabelle kid.
Yeah.
It's great because it's not demon face. It's not anything. It's just a silhouette in the dark.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's creepier than anything else.
It's way more subtle. Yeah. It's way more subtle because you're the whole time you're going, what's up there? What's in that thing? Like, you can't see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just as scared as she would be. Like, you can empathize with her situation.
Now, this part I never got. So she gets pulled all the way back up to the top of the stairs.
Yes.
And then she just sits there for a moment. Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And she just gets full yeeted out of the chairlift.
Yeah.
She's just like, I kid you not, comically silly, like game show style, ejected from a chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight vertical up.
And then nowhere for
a second. And then she's on the floor. And you're like, did she just fall from like three stories?
Yeah.
How is she not dead?
And she's not, somehow.
And then it's like a big cat's boot falls after. Like Jellicle Songs for Jellicle Cat. Yeah, like,
yeah, her boot falls after, which is just kind of silly.
So now there's another layer. So now Janice is taken to the hospital. They finally come back and she's in a full wheelchair now.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, uh-oh, that's no good.
Yeah, you feel bad for her.
Yeah, like, again, this kid's already been through enough and now she, like, may or may not walk again. That's another thing that's mentioned is she's like, may not walk again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now she's very much, like, afraid.
Yeah.
Janice at this point is, there is something fucked about this house. Yes. I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
This crazy shit happened to me, and I don't want to be here anymore.
The next scene I actually like. The daytime haunting scene, What are your thoughts on it? I'm kind of a fan
I do like it, especially because they do not show you the face.
Yes. However, the one thing... So there's some minor tie-ins, because we get kind of a demon nun situation.
So this is where the subtle tie-ins come in.
Yes.
So... Janice is now outside, and she's in her chair.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of goes inside briefly or away.
And Sister Charlotte is like, hey, she's trying to cheer up. She's being really nice. She's like, well, at least the sun is shining. It's a really nice day. And she's like, you know what? It is nice sitting outside. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to stay out here a bit.
So then Sister Charlotte's like, I got to go in for just a minute, but I'll be right back out. And you're like, okay. And so she's just sitting there, just minding her own business, and then someone violently kicks the back of her chair, but nobody's there. I like that.
Yep, that's good.
So she's freaked out, and she's extra freaked out because she can't go anywhere. She is, you know, she's not able to walk at this point.
Yeah.
And then all you see is, you kind of get that close-up shot from Janice's perspective. And
just behind her chair, you can just see, like...
somebody dressed in a nun's outfit, but you know by the way that the person is moving that it's not Sister Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And I like that. It's a good, like...
And they do try to show you the face, but it's all blacked out from the sun. And,
yeah, it's a really good use of, like, the sun shining in kind of in the camera's face, if you will. I think it's really well done.
Yeah. So she gets pushed into the barn area.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Just thrown around her wheelchair. And everything else.
And she gets knocked right out of it.
Yeah.
And, like, her wheelchair goes flying. Mm-hmm. Shit's going everywhere. And I think she's chased by the Annabelle daughter.
And then we get a little call back to the
original Conjuring.
Yeah.
So now this is where all the tie-ins are happening.
Yeah.
So we've got nun-esque person who just kind of, again, probably yeeted her out of the chair in the first place, then yeeted her chair into the barn.
Yeah.
And now what's happening is the Annabelle figure that is also the same demon.
Yeah.
Has kind of cornered Janice.
Yeah.
And while she's down, does the whole vomit possession blood thing.
Yes.
Like happened in the Conjuring movie. So yeah. Full on, like, she's on top of them and like,
yeah.
Blood into mouth, possessed.
And then that's kind of all you've seen. And then the next scene, when Sister Charlotte and the other girls come back out because they hear that there's like commotion, yeah. Right?
What's going on?
I couldn't get out.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
All you see is that Janice is like, oh, I'm totally fine.
In her
but
chair.
But you know that Deckerel is possessed at that point.
Yeah, you know, that's like, not Janice. Yeah, that's not
Janice. Janice is gone.
Yeah, it's the noon.
Yeah.
So I like this one because it's actually a daytime haunting.
Yeah, I like it too. It's daytime haunting. I'm into it. The sun's shining. It's super bright.
I wish there were more shadowy
moments
yeah. that wasn't just straight up like, she's being chased in the barn.
Yeah.
Because then, like, you can piece that together and you know it's going to go one of two ways.
Yes.
But I like the way that they don't show you everything with, you know, the person kicking the chair and who's pushing mm-hmm. her. Like, there's clearly someone there.
Yeah.
Who could it be?
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that. And it's a good way to kind of add some, like, daytime stuff. That's usually not the standard norm.
Yeah.
Now we find out that I think it's the younger one.
Yes.
Linda that told, she has a bit of a heart-to-heart with Samuel, the father, yeah. saying, yes. like, Janice isn't talking to me anymore ever since she went up in the room. And
she's
that's
acting
when
very strange.
Samuel was like, she couldn't have gone up in the room.
Yeah.
It's locked.
And she's like, no, it is not.
And she mentioned something about the doll. And he's like, how the hell did the doll, like, don't go near that doll.
He's like, that doll needed to be locked away.
And he just kind of says, no, don't ever go up there.
Yeah.
Can't do that. And just kind of dismisses the whole thing. Which, again, this is the one fault I have about, not the one fault, but the bit of fault I have with
one
that
of the many
that with that style of like, mm-hmm. no, I took care of it. That must not have happened.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, shit's happening now. We told you it happened.
Aren't you going to do something about it?
Wouldn't it be better?
He does, though. He goes and checks it out.
Eventually. But yeah. I feel like, wouldn't it make more sense to basically be like, okay, this is why it's dangerous. This is what's happened. Like, as much as you know you're trying to hide that part, and I get that's the idea of like, they're trying to hide what they know. Because
yeah.
people wouldn't believe them, and yeah. especially in this case. But I'm like, especially when things are repeating to other people, wouldn't it make more sense at that point be like, okay, fuck, that happened to us. We need X, Y, and Z to fix it. Because like, clearly yeah. they've already been through it.
I feel like if it were me and I was trying to keep a bunch of little kids out of a room, I think I would try to appeal to their emotions a little bit more. I wouldn't try to scare them because that's not the way around it. But I would just level with them. I'd be like, I wouldn't quite tell them the truth, but I'd be like, look, we had a daughter and she passed away very suddenly. And, you know, we're never, like, we're over it somewhat, but we're never going to fully get over it. So because of that, we want to keep her room exactly how she had it. And because of that, you know, we're just asking you respectfully, like, please don't go in that room because
yeah.
we just want to preserve it. It's a way to preserve her, right? You could appeal to someone's, like, heart that way. And I think a lot of people, like, unless they're pure evil shit characters, but even the bitchy girls wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I think,
like,
I don't think so.
That's the thing. Like, if you just kind of appeal to people and tell people why it's important to you, I feel like they will listen. But if you just tell them, like, no, you can't go in there, well, then kids will kind of be kids.
Yeah,
right? And then
they
will try to get in there.
Or they get curious when things happen and
yes.
they're able to get in.
I wish that they would just make it a little bit more realistic. Just appeal to people the way that you normally would appeal to people.
Yep.
Right?
So now, after this, I don't know about you, but as soon as he just kind of had that freak out about, like, the doll's this, it couldn't have happened, it's gone,
yeah.
I got rid of it, I fixed it, you're like, well, he's dead. He's getting killed.
Yeah.
He's the next victim.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he is.
And he is.
So he is. Just shortly after, he wanders around with his cross in his hand and goes to the dining room, and you see Janice,
mm-hmm.
quote,
quote.
Get wheeled up, and of course she's got glowing eyes like the picture.
Of course.
So here's the weird thing is that, like, it's been Annabelle the daughter, it's been a black shadow, it's been the black fog, it's been full noon.
This demon is a thousand things.
And I guess that's what they were going for.
Well, and I guess that's possible. I guess, like, who are we to say that, like, a demon has to haunt in a certain way? It's a fictitious world. But it's like,
But I feel like just be consistent in the way you're delivering it.
I just mean stylistically, like, you're making a movie. I don't like
even
that.
Even if it was a combo, if it was, like, the eyes and the fog.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
All right. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I just feel like it's not consistent. I feel like the hauntings are all over the place.
Yeah. So now you see that it is Janice in the chair and the eyes are glowing. And she now morphs into this tall demon figure.
Yes.
Very shadowy. I'm glad that it's still a shadow.
Yeah.
Now, but I don't care for this scene personally. It seems way too fake.
Yeah.
Because it is essentially, he's like, oh shit, here's the demon. Went through this the last time. And he's holding up the cross and his fingers get not just pulled off the cross.
They break.
Fully broken backwards. And I'm like, just like,
as each finger is like
breaking out, I'm like, that would hurt a lot more.
Again, there are several movies out there that have done this whole like limbs breaking stuff way better and way more effectively to make you think that they're feeling it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even the one that we didn't really care for that we watched recently, the one on Shudder, what was the name of that one?
The Dark and the Wicked.
That was Dark and the Wicked. I was about to say that, and I was like, no, but it is that one.
Yeah, The Dark and the Wicked.
They show you some gruesome things. Like, she cuts off her fingers.
And it
looks, and the reaction is
painful, and it looks excruciating, and I like that that's the reaction.
Yeah.
Another movie that did it I find even better than that is, I know you don't love this movie, but I think you liked it anyway, is Black Swan.
Yes. Yeah, no, I like that movie.
So, so the parts where, you know those scenes where her knees are bending backwards? Like a swan's? And again, I'm not ruining anything for anybody, but her knees are, like, physically bending backwards, and she has other things breaking in her body, and you feel the fucking pain. Like, they're doing a good job of, like, she is terrified. You can see the terror in her face, but she's also feeling the pain. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to get from these actors, right? You don't just want to get the my finger's breaking. It's like, no, that would be fucking excruciating.
And full back, like,
full back, but broken? No, that's excruciating. Like, you're barely yelling. It's nothing. Silly.
Yeah. But now he's dead. Hella dead.
He's dead. He's super dead.
And he got killed by the, you know, Valak
thing.
Whatever it is now.
Evil Annabelle. That's the thing. We still don't. I guess it's just a demon, right? I guess that's all it is. It's just a demon.
At the end of the day, it's just a demon that's
possessed. Taking on like a shit ton of forms.
But so here's the thing is that like right now we're about 3/4 through the movie.
Yeah.
Well, what you think is 3/4 of the movie, but it's really only half. This is what I don't like. There's so much more left, and a lot of it has nothing to do with it.
I find this end sequence goes on forever.
So, me at this point, I'm like, this is what's going to happen. Like one original family member's dead.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's going to have to own up to what's happened. And, like, we're going to figure out how the fuck this all plays together.
Yeah.
Kind of. So now, it's like, it's a bit of a mess. Because now the sister finds the guy. And he's taken out, and, like, they're still at the house for some reason. That was another weird thing. I was like...
Yeah, I don't get that.
I guess.
Either. Yep.
Then on top of that, now the younger sister... Not sister. I keep calling her the sister. The younger orphan, Linda, is now trying to take things in her own hands, and she's going to go toss the Annabelle doll in the well.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, good call.
Good call.
And
she's trying to do something.
She's trying to do the right thing, and we still don't know what's happened yet.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, something's gonna happen. We're gonna figure out how this all kind of comes together.
Yeah.
And she goes and she tries to do it, and Annabelle doesn't like wells.
No.
She's like, fuck that, and she tries to actually. The demon then tries to pull Linda down.
Into the well. Yeah.
And as soon as that well cover starts shaking, that's when you can tell Sister Charlotte's actually like, oh shit.
Yes.
Shit's going down.
Shit's going down. Shit's really real. What's happening? Yeah.
So now we come back to the house because the well is, of course, like 1,000 miles away in a farmhouse.
Yeah.
And the other one, Janice, is missing.
Yes.
She's now nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And now we got to do some revelations.
Yes.
Here we go. So now we did the exposition. Mm-hmm. Now we had some hauntings. Now we're going to figure out what the fuck's happening.
Now we got to uncover some shit.
Yeah. So now, since some shit's been happening, the sister confronts the mother, being like,
yes.
Okay, I know something's happened here. It ain't good. You gotta tell me.
Like, what really happened?
What really happened?
Yeah.
So we find out that the parents, Samuel and Esther, after their daughter Annabelle had died in the car accident, or the car...
Yeah, car accident. Yep.
They were so desperate to try to have her back that they just kind of prayed to be like, oh, we'll do anything to have her back. We'll pray to whatever to get our daughter back.
Right.
And that worked. Yeah. They had some little, like, signs, the notes, and it was really kind of, like, playful. And...
It started with playful notes, and then it also started with, like, hearing her music go on upstairs, the record player, right? And they were like, oh, that's her. That's Annabelle.
Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the part I do like.
I like the tie-ins.
So for those of you that don't know, these are the original things that kind of that happened with the original Annabelle story with the actual nurse. Like, the real Annabelle story with the nurse is not the movie.
Yes, like, the real story that it's based on, as in, like, the real Annabelle doll, which was a Raggedy Ann doll, you know, it started off very slow with those nurses. Like, you know, first they would think that, like, an arm would move or something.
Yeah,
or that
they would be find in a slightly a note different being position. Like, come play.
They found the notes asking them to come
things
play.
Things being turned on.
Yeah, they hear, like, you know, they'll hear, like, their radios turning on. And then they'll hear music playing in one of the rooms. And it was little things at first. And I like that
and
they
it was
incorporated...
more playful.
Yeah, it was playful. And I like that they incorporated the playful aspects of Annabelle.
The original Annabelle haunting.
The actual Annabelle haunting into this Annabelle's, fake Annabelle's, backstory.
Yeah, so essentially...
I like that aspect of it.
And I do like that. And essentially then what happened is, basically what happened with the original Annabelle story is that it was then asked for permission to move into the doll, and it used the facade of being the daughter the demon that was playing the daughter to latch onto the doll.
Yeah, but what this really was is that, and what the Warrens always thought it was when they were called onto the scene, the real scene, like when
the
they
actual
were actual, the real
Annabelle
story,
case.
They basically said, well, no, it's that's not it. Like, it's not ghosts. Ghosts don't possess things. That's not how it works. This is just demon trickery, basically. That's what they said.
They said you should, like, never allow anything to actually inhabit an object.
Yeah, because all that's trying to happen is the demon's just trying to possess you and just trying to fuck up your life. So the Warrens were like, cool, we're just going to take this conduit thing, which happens to be the doll, and we're going to bring it back to our home.
And that just helped.
And lock it away and have it blessed constantly.
Yep.
That's the whole story. That's literally the entirety of the real Annabelle story.
Which is essentially what happens to the parents under the facade of the daughter's death.
Yes.
So they are kind of like, oh, it's our daughter. We're happy. Kind of very Pet Cemetery.
Very Pet Cemetery. Like, they're willing to do anything.
Willing to do anything, but instead of, you know, digging up her body and burying it in a weird place.
In a pet cemetery that brings her back,
but kind of fucky. It's a, you know, what they think is their daughter being brought back, but it's actually
but it's
a
not.
Devil.
It's the demon devil.
So
thing.
They conjured up the devil.
Yeah.
See what I did there? No one's laughing. Yeah. Anyways, we'll continue.
It's like insert cricket noise here.
Yeah. Sorry. So then they try the parents before the family, before the orphans got there.
Yeah.
The family tried to contain it themselves.
Yeah, and the way that they did this was that they realized that the doll was kind of acting like the whole conduit thing. Again, they're getting that from the real Annabelle story.
Things then started to become more violent once they, quote, allowed their daughter, which is the devil,
inhabit and move in. So what they did was they locked this Annabelle doll away.
Well,
they,
it all came to a culminating point when the mother got
injured.
She got full mauled, like, scratch against the face.
Basically, in a very similar way that Janice gets, like, yeeted off of the top of the staircase and also gets, like, scratched in the face, right? So that's what this, like, demon is doing.
Yeah.
So it's very, there's a lot of tie-ins now, and I don't mind that part of the story. They also explain why they did it. They're like, you know, they get the priest in there and the priest is like, I can't do much, but we can lock it away at least. He's like, you know, we can seal it up and we can bless it and you can just not interact with it. And he's like, I think that's the best way to,
and
like,
you can definitely tell they tried to pull the Warren's approach, which was like locking it in a sealed room with sealed sacred artifacts.
Yeah,
like they sealed
blessed
the room
by a
with
priest and that whole thing. I get where they're getting the the ideas from. Mm-hmm. I don't even mind the backstory of this.
It took you so long, and you thought you were near the end, and now you're like, oh, now we've just uncovered that, but nothing like that has been resolved yet.
Yeah.
We're still trying to fight the goddamn thing.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, while this is happening, shit's kind of going on upstairs, and everyone's kind of like crammed into the creepy room. Shit's going on. No one knows where Janice is. They're all kind of up looking around for Janice.
And everybody kind of gets randomly separated, too. And I kind of hate that about these movies. Oh, my God.
It turns into like a Scooby-Doo 50s thing.
Yes! Thank you, Scooby-Doo. That's what I was trying to... When we were rewatching it last night, I was trying to place, like, what does this remind me of? How they're kind of like...
Oh, okay, gang. Like, split up and look for clues.
Yeah, how they're all in, like, different rooms and there's different hauntings happening to each one of them. I hate that. Like,
No offense to Kathleen. She loves Scooby-Doo.
No, I don't mind Scooby-Doo. I don't mind Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo has, like, it's a cute cartoon. Like, it's quite silly and it's cute. Yeah. It's got its place in the world. What I don't like is when a real horror movie is pulling a Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
So now half the girls are in the house. Half of them run outside the house and are like, we're going to try to be safe because Charlotte gets thrown into a wall.
Yeah, she gets like violently thrown into a wall.
So they're like, fuck this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So now
the older girls kind of like run outside.
And get into the car. Remember that scarecrow we talked about earlier?
It makes an appearance.
Oh my God. And it's like, my God, we're not even at the end yet. And now you're bringing back things that
never evolved
into anything. Like,
and you're like, who's this guy now? Who's this guy? But really all it is just the demon. Like, moving the scarecrow because I guess you're supposed to think that the demon knows that this is what that one girl is afraid of, is she's afraid of scarecrows. I get it. They're kind of pulling, like, an It. You know, like, an It a little bit?
I know, but then the problem is it feels like it.
I know, it feels like
it. It feels like it, where it's so targeted and so kooky that it's like... Yeah,
and It Chapter 1 handled that really well, but It Chapter 2 handled it terribly. Yeah. I know. And this movie is, it's just all over the place. Like,
it's not quite as good as It Chapter 1, but not as bad as It Chapter 2.
Yeah, it falls somewhere in the middle.
And now, like, each one gets their own personalized haunting. So now the older, bitchier girl, she gets haunted by the scarecrow, and it morphs into the Valak demon character.
I hate this scene.
Because you see it, and then, of course, the lights get unscrewed.
Yeah, it's that...
Well, and then on top of it, it's like, okay, so you're seeing them get unscrewed. Mm-hmm. And her idea is to, like, get up onto a ladder.
And hold them in place
and re-screw them back in. I'm like, I feel that's the worst situation. Now you have no defenses.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, creepy hand comes out, and in the background, like, in Spider-Man fashion.
Yeah, the hand comes out of nowhere and crunches the light, and, you know, light goes out. And you get a brief moment where you can actually see the demon character literally hanging upside down as if it is Spider-Man hanging on his freaking web.
Yeah.
It is stupid. And I don't like the head. What's the headpiece that they use for?
Oh, it's almost like a half horn, half,
like... It looks like, kind of reminds me of Alien, and like Alien versus Predator, you know what I mean? It reminds me of Alien.
That weird kind of like face look.
Yeah, there's a weird face look with like a swept back black thing.
Yeah, I think they're going to have horns for the swept back.
Yeah, the horns are like swept back almost, and it reminds me of like Alien. Like it reminds me of like as in Alien versus Predator Alien. Like I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it.
Yeah,
I don't like the design of it.
This scene to me feels like what I like to call filler horror.
Yes.
Things that really don't have anything to do with the storyline.
No.
But are just there because they're creepy.
Because they're trying to make it maximum scary.
Right.
Right.
And I don't care for it.
No.
The reason both of us were attracted to kind of the Conjuring universe in the first place.
It's for the toned down portion of it.
Oh my God, Matt, think of words. Don't get them twisted in your head. Tone it down. And the... I don't want to say realness of it, but, you know...
Well, no, like, I'm intrigued by the potential of realness. I can't say whether it is or is not real, but I'm intrigued by the potential of a real ghost story. Isn't that what everybody gets freaked out about? Well,
and not even just the realness, but also the odd similarities and coincidences, especially when it came to the Warrens cases.
Yes.
There are so many weird, you know...
Carryovers
or oddities or specifics that were kind of... through line in these cases,
mm-hmm.
which is cool because some movies do that really well.
Yes.
But then some of them are just like, this movie feels like it was a prequel designed to just be a blockbuster horror movie.
To
be a blockbuster horror.
Yes, to be blockbuster horror. And
nothing else. And it did else. it okay.
Yeah, it's not the worst. I know we're really ragging on it. It's not the worst, but it is not the best.
It's not like, the best, and especially if you're going into it thinking of, like, it's going to be kind of similar to Annabelle. Like, is this going to be a case about something the Warrens did?
No, they're not there. Happened. Yeah, they're not there because...
This is a few more cute tie-ins, so that brings it up a little bit.
The very end, I can kind of get behind.
Yeah, so we're almost at the end.
Yeah.
And so we have this filler horror scene where, like, 10 minutes go by and she's, like, tortured in the barn.
We get the whole filler horror with the dumbwaiter scene, too, which I don't really like as well.
I forgot they got the dumbwaiter scene because now it comes back. Yeah, these are the two things I didn't care for.
And then there's a random dead person chasing her when she gets to the bottom. So little Linda goes to the basement in the dumbwaiter. To try and find Janice. I like that she's trying to find Janice. I don't even mind that part of it. But then while she gets down there, she finds a random dead person. I don't even know what that person is. I still can't tell you.
Yeah.
Just a scary scene. But that's what we're trying to say, right? Is that it's like, it seems like every time you turn around, it's like insert scary thing here.
Yeah.
Again, similar to it, it's like I almost half expected this demon to like take the form of a spider at a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, people are afraid of spiders. I should look like a spider, right? It's like, people are afraid of clowns. I should look like a clown. Like, it got to that level, almost. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It wasn't quite that silly, mm-hmm. but it was getting there.
It was getting there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I forgot about that dumbwaiter scene.
Yes, right?
I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't like how they, again, they try to bring back things that they had mentioned.
Yeah.
But they weren't at all relevant to the story. Like, mm-hmm. there was no other use of the dumbwaiter in the movie.
Yeah.
Except for the random, like, odd things that happened with the door opening in the beginning.
Yeah. Now, the very last scene, what are your thoughts on the very last scene inside this old house?
I think it gets too over the top.
Yeah, personally. I don't care for it either. So
again, similar to the way they end most of the Conjuring universe movies, it gets
too much.
Too cinematic blockbuster. So, because there's no way, even in any of the Conjuring movies, the way that they end, you're like, there's no way that this happened in this fashion.
Well, it's like, where do you go from there, right? It's like, you've already shown so much that I'm like, well, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
And, of course, they have to top it, so it gets crazy.
Yeah.
So, in true Conjuring universe fashion, Sister Charlotte basically realizes that the only way that she's going to get everybody else out of this house is by literally locking up the demon-possessed child.
Back into the original storage location.
Yeah, but unfortunately that means that she has to lock up Janice
in that closet.
In that closet and basically just fucking hope for the best. She just has to run out and hope for the best.
Forgive me.
Yep.
And that's what ends up happening. And once she locks her in there, all this chaos happens. Like,
it's the screaming, the lights are flickering.
Yeah, the room comes crashing down. Things are being thrown everywhere. It's the whole
So everyone thing. Like busts out of the house and lights are exploding. It's all lights flashing it, going off. It turns like a whole monster house.
It gives me vibes of Poltergeist.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like the lights, but, like, the really up. Bright lights, but way ramped up. Because I actually thought the Poltergeist kind of did it pretty good.
Yeah,
actually.
This is like, think again, full century mansion.
Yeah.
Farmhouse ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Every single light is on, flickering, exploding. It's like Michael Bay meets horror.
Yeah.
Like, everything's kind of going off.
Yeah.
So now this happens, and
then it all, like, calms down.
It all kind of calms down. But here's the thing I don't like.
Yeah.
everything kind of explodes.
But then, like, nobody really defeats it. It just sort of goes away.
Well, it only just goes away. And did no one just check on Janice afterwards? Because it looks like they wait till morning.
Yeah, they do. It's odd.
So I have so many questions. I'm like, where do they sleep? Where did they go? Did they sleep? Did they go somewhere else? Did
I don't
they
know.
Try to just like walk into town? Like, I don't know what the closest town is.
You don't know that.
I just feel like there was so much missed opportunity to find. So now here's my thing is like, you would think after this whole house is now like Michael Bay exploded, they would go back in to see like, did it work? Is Janice here? Is she back to normal? They don't do that.
No.
They wait until the next morning and the police arrive.
And they're searching for her.
And they're searching for her.
And they don't find her.
And they can't find her. And you see that there's a hole in the closet where Janice was thrown, where she was locked in.
Yep. The Annabelle doll is there.
Yes.
Remember? The Annabelle doll is there.
The doll is there.
But Janice is gone.
Yep.
And they search the house and the police can't find her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's
and
what you're
then,
left with.
Then you learn the facts. Like, they do close it up nicely where, like, the police leave. They can't find Janice. And the priest, other priest guy comes in and is like, yeah, there's no evil here anymore. It was a conduit. And you're like, okay.
Weird
fine.
Wrap up, yeah.
And I'm also like, weird that you used the exact same word as like the Warrens did.
Yeah, that's strange. I don't like that.
I don't like how they just basically say that they're, like, you can tell they're trying to make that connection.
I know, but I don't like it. It's too
It's too specific.
Too specific.
So
I feel like very few people would use that
word. And
then
the really bad joke at the end, like, well, then who wants it?
Yeah. And they're all like, oh, like they all shy away from the doll. Yeah. And I'm like, well, of course, like no girl wants to be around a doll that was just recently possessed.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes the doll, he throws it in the back of his trunk, and you're like, okay, good. He's going to take that somewhere. It's gone.
So now
then
this...
Then Linda gets adopted, like properly adopted.
Yeah.
And that's like a nice little ending, like leading up to wrapping it up.
Yeah, and they kind of are all on the bus again, right?
Yeah.
So now we fast forward, and then you get a cutaway.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that now we're at this other orphanage in somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's in California.
I think it's in California because you find out that it's the same parents from the Annabelle movie.
Yes.
So now what's happened is we're at this orphanage and you're like, okay, what's going on? And you open up the door and they let the parents in being like, okay, we have someone for you to see.
Yeah.
And they bring the two parents in and you see Janice.
Yeah.
Janice is now in this room, and you're like, okay, she's alive. What's going on?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, what's your name, sweetie?
Mm-hmm.
My name's
Annabelle. Yeah.
Shocker. Janice is still possessed.
Yeah.
So then you find out. Now, I do like this little homage here. They come in, and so basically these new parents, we don't know where Janice is. We're guessing somewhere else in Southern California that she escaped off to.
Mm-hmm.
But these parents kind of come in planning to adopt her.
Mm-hmm.
And as a gift to kind of get to know her and, you know, be nice parents, they give her a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yes.
I do like that because that is the original
tie-in
to the Annabelle story.
I thought that was cute. And, you know, upon reading up, the whole reason that James Wan wasn't allowed to use Raggedy Ann was basically he put it very bluntly. He's like, the parent company that owns Raggedy Ann, like whatever company that was, because it's still an existing toy making company.
Yep.
It's not Fisher-Price, but anyway, it's a toy company
Hasbro
that still literally exists. And he's like, there is no way in hell that a real toy maker is going to let us put this demon image next to their doll that is still sold today.
That's still being sold.
So that was the whole thing. Apparently, the movie didn't even try to get it. They were like,
yeah,
no, we're just going to avoid this, like, the plague.
Yeah, well,
they're like,
they
we're just
going to
make
so
our own
things.
Doll.
They already had so many other things they had to work around because the Warrens, actually, if they were going to use the Warrens in any of their movies, they had to approve what was being said about them.
Yeah, then the Warrens had to approve, like, because it's their life, and then they were like, well, we're going to approve what you say. So
now you find out that
Janice, a.k.a. Annabelle, gets adopted by this family in California.
The Higgins family.
The Higgins family.
That's where they get the name Annabelle Higgins.
And we talked to great extent about the Higgins.
I actually wish the movie just ended there.
Yeah, I know.
They actually show you way too much of how, like, again,
well, because
they assume...
then they show you the old scenes from the original
Annabelle
movie. And I hate that. We've already seen that movie.
And that's what I don't care for, is it's like, they're assuming you didn't get it.
Well, and they're assuming you're idiots, I guess.
Because if they had closed the movie with, like, them bringing a Raggedy Ann doll, being like, oh, I'm Mrs. Higgins, I'm Mr. Higgins.
I'd be like, well, I get
What's
it.
Your name?
Yeah,
Annabelle. You're like,
oh,
got it. It's Annabelle Higgins. That relates to the other movie. She then murders the family.
And you're like, oh, that's where Annabelle
Higgins
came from. Okay, cool. Right? you would have been able to figure that out no problem. But for some reason, they literally show you the kill scene where Annabelle is all grown up now. She's like 18 years old.
It's the same scene from the Annabelle movie it's her and the other random guy. Like,
where she's like in her cult outfit.
Yeah.
And she like comes in and murders her parents, right? Like, it's
before
the,
going
it's
over
the overlap of the scenes. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to fully connect it. But I'm sorry, you didn't need to. It was fully connected. We figured it out. We got there.
Now, I know what they're trying to do, too, with the idea of, like, they're trying to show you the scene that you didn't see in Annabelle.
Yeah, they're trying to show you that side
but
of it.
Unfortunately, but... like, that scene was so obvious
that
you didn't need to see it.
That. You knew that happened.
If it was something that was so creepy that you, like, someone had just died, and you don't know why.
Yeah.
And then suddenly now in this movie you find out exactly
how that
happened.
And then you're revealing how they died. Great. That would be a reveal.
That'd be a reveal. But
this
case,
isn't a
it's
reveal.
Like,
we've already seen
it.
We know that she
killed
her parents. Yeah.
You don't need to show us again from their point of view. We already know what happened.
We saw it. It's good. You know?
Anyways. And then the movie ends.
Yeah.
And that's it. It ends right there.
But it feels, because of those endings, it feels like it has about four endings. And
I don't appreciate movies
that have about four endings. It just reminds me of...
The Turning.
Well, it reminds me of The Turning, but it reminds me of, okay, non-horror movie reference. I know people are going to hate me when I say this, but kind of like The Lord of the Rings sort of bothers me that way. It's got about a thousand endings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this scene ends and then this other thing wraps. And I get it. It's because this is a great big movie with all these
great epic.
It's this great epic tale. And it is. Don't get me wrong. I actually don't hate the story, although I don't love the movies. Yeah, I know. People are going to be like, really? I really don't care for them. But it's so long. And I get that you need to like wrap up a long movie in a certain way. But it just feels like it has like a thousand endings. And I don't care for movies like that.
Yeah, I get that. So that's Annabelle Creation in a nutshell. So overall, things we like about this movie.
Yeah.
I like the little tidbits of actual information. Like relating it to the nun, relating it to the actual Annabelle case. Those things I like. Music. Honestly, this is probably my favorite score from the Conjuring universe.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really well done. Storyline's okay, but I found my biggest issues with it.
Convoluted, too much going on.
Convoluted, too much filler horror.
Yeah.
Too much just, like, being scary because we're being scary.
Scary to be scary. Yeah.
And just too much inconsistencies with how they're depicting their horror. They just try to do a smattering of every horror style imaginable.
It's kind of like they had a brainstorming session and they're like, okay, person A, what do you find scary? Oh, fuck, the dark? Cool. Person B, what do you find scary? The scarecrows? Great. Person C, what do you find scary? It's like they took every
single
thing.
And they wanted to add
thing.
Every little detail, make sure they exploited it in the movie.
And okay, but when you do that, you run the risk of it getting to be too ridiculous at that point. You run the risk of becoming It Chapter 2.
Yes.
And I don't think this movie's as bad as It Chapter 2, but I do think it's not as good as It Chapter 1. I think it actually does kind of fall.
Yeah, it kind of falls right in the middle for me.
Somewhere in the middle for me. It's not my most hated in the Conjuring universe, but it is not my favorite either.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I like it better than Annabelle.
Yep, I like it better than Annabelle.
But...
I think it's worse than The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2.
I would say about on par with The Nun. Nun maybe does it a little bit better because I find The Nun is actually so fake.
The scares are pretty good with The Nun, or they're so ridiculous and over the top at the end that you're like, okay.
You can kind of forgive it for not being...
Yeah, I don't know. And I like
the storyline. The storyline
story of The
up,
Nun.
Yeah.
And I like the storyline of The Nun, so I forgive The Nun a little bit more.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's technically rated worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's reasons for it.
Yeah, I agree. So, should we get into our score?
Mm-hmm.
Before it gets too long here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is the part where we're actually going to give it a rating out of 100. And we're going to try to break it up equally into the following categories. So we're going to kind of critique it on the overall story, the acting, visual effects, music and sound effects, and the movie ending and satisfaction rate. So out of 100, what did you give Annabelle Creation?
All right. So out of 100, drumroll please. I landed on a 63 for this. So for all the reasons that we mentioned, there's things I like, there's things I don't like. I think it's pretty enjoyable as, like, your, I don't know, it's kind of your B-movie horror. It's not that good. It's not terrible, though. It's not terrible,
yep.
You know? So the positives of it, though, is that I don't mind the acting for the most part. There's a couple points that we picked out that I don't care for, but that's mostly direction over acting.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the acting I don't have a problem with. The music is fantastic. I really like the original score and stuff. I think it's really, really, really well done. I think, like, some of the scares are really good and really creepy. I just wish that they had kept that theming for the reasons that we said. The stuff that they show you too much, it's too much. It's over the top. It's silly. It's now we're in, again, like we said, like, now we're in, like, silly it territory.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't care for that. I'm just like, well, what am I watching at this point?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's low 60s for me.
Yeah, I went a little higher. I ended up actually slightly higher than you. Again, this doesn't really happen. So weird, I'm usually the critique here.
Yeah.
I went slightly higher with a 68.
Okay.
I went a bit higher for the following. I felt the story, for what it was in little tie-ins, I appreciated them a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I did knock it up a bit higher with the music. I basically almost gave it like full marks for music. It really hit the nail for me there. And I actually left this movie a little, not completely satisfied with the way it ended, but more than I was anticipating with the way the movie was going. So overall, that's kind of where my 5-point difference kind of came up. But pretty much the same thing. Again, the visual effects are good. They're not very consistent with the horror.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline's okay. It's not the greatest, but the ending is where it kind of got me, where it's like, okay, I appreciate those tie-ins. Like, as soon as it all kind of came full circle, you almost kind of forgive what's happened a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still
I'm find having it... a hard time forgiving like the silliness, like the scarecrow scene. And
oh,
that
I
stuff.
Mean, I'm not a fan of the silliness necessarily.
No.
I think they definitely had some better scenes than others, but as an overall film, that's kind of like we're very much in the same thing. Like, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's worth a watch.
Yeah.
For the universe, even if you're not part of the universe, like, it is an interesting watch.
It's good, not great.
It's good, not great.
If
I had to give it stars, I'd give Annabelle like a 2-star. I would give this like a 3-star. Like.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, good.
I'm not
great.
It's not my go-to recommendation, but it's definitely very watchable and entertaining.
Yes.
So.
But for me, the other thing that kind of dings me down on this one too, is it scary? No. It doesn't leave me with any kind of lasting effect. I'm not
it
like,
is your
ooh, I'm freaking
average
out. Yeah.
Hollywood
yep.
big budget horror.
Exactly.
With a good score.
Yeah, with a good score.
So. The added bonus
credit where credit is due on that one. Yeah.
With the added bonus of it just being in the Conjuring universe. So if you already feel the Conjuring universe is creepier, this might be more scary for you.
Yeah.
If not, it might
give
just
it a
be
watch.
Another horror movie. But either way, take a listen, see what you think.
All right.
Hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Okay, so to continue with our Conjuring universe review, our next episode, we're going to continue with
The Noon.
Or,
as the normal release date would, not release date. The actual movie title is
The Nun.
Yes. That's more interesting to call The Nun.
Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us once again on
Dark Room Reviews.